Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
Warning: The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen if you dare.
Hey, yo!
Guerrilla tactics, it's time for warfare. Yo, we came to battle, yo, we aim to kill.
What's going on, everybody? It's been a couple weeks, but we'd like to welcome you again to another episode of The Outsider's Edge. It's your boy, Rance, aka Ray Cash, and as with the week or two in wrestling, a lot has changed. There has been a lot of happenings in both worlds. So we need to talk about some business first. So before I do that, let me introduce my co-host, my brother, Kyle Morris. Kyle, what's up, brother?
It's a beautiful evening. Shout out to our third partner in arms. Carl couldn't be here tonight. He had to do some adulting. But we'll see Carl again real soon.
So, you know, it comes a time when you have to make hard decisions. You have to think about things and reassess things and see where you're going and where you're trying to go. So, if you've listened to Keeping the Strong Style this week, if you've listened to Ricky and Clive this week, I'm sure you heard the news, but The Outsider's Edge, after this episode, will no longer be a part of Social Suplex Podcast Network. So that's rough for me in particular, because Social Suplex Podcast Network was essentially started with just One Nation Radio and us, the SMC podcast back in the day. Shout out to Caleb, who was a big part of the original show. So it's kind of weird, you know, you've put so much time and effort into something, and you move on for different ventures. But I wanted to address it, much as Jeremy, Josh, Ricky, and Clive have on air. And I wanted to take some time to say a very heartfelt, sincere thank you. Jeremy, you have been an excellent person to work with. I guess you could say work for, seeing as you're the owner and operator of the site and the podcast network.
But you're a good boss, man, and we love you.
You are a very good boss, man. You're an excellent person, man. You're a good human. I appreciate you always being there whenever I needed you, always willing and ready to hop on a call or whatever. You've always been excellent. Josh, just as much, you've been excellent. Josh is the type of dude that'll call me at the most random times, and we'll talk for 4 hours about bullshit.
And Josh is such a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
Like so much knowledge about so many things.
He'll be Chris Charlton in like 6 years when Charlton gets fired from New Japan. He'll get the job. But man, yeah,
he's got to learn Japanese first. But if anyone can do it, it's the young boy.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Knowing him is probably already
taking his classes.
Yeah, yeah. But no, man. Shout out to Keeping It Strong Style, man. Shout out to Rich and James over at One Nation Radio. They started this thing. Rich probably does more for the network than anybody. So shout out to him. Shout out to Ricky and Clive. Brian and Mooch know I talk to those guys every day. So, you know, they know I love them. They know I care about them. And, you know, shout out to everybody on the network, all the new shows, Grown Men Watch This Shit, Omega Luke, Wilfred. The podcast network has grown so huge, seemingly overnight, and I'm so proud to say that we played, no matter, even if it's a little small part, we played some part in, maybe not helping it, but being a part of its growth. That's cool to say, you know?
Well, and the big point is just we leave with nothing but love for everybody there. We are still available for everybody there if they need us for anything.
100%.
And we're not departing because we hate the Social Suplex Network. We hope that y'all will continue to support the Social Suplex Network even without our wonderful melodic voices on it.
Unless y'all talking about some beef that's going to make all our numbers jump up. Then we could fake some shit.
Yeah, like, you want to talk about some fuck shit, we could invent some fuck shit.
No, I mean, and when Kyle says that, you know, we still rock with Social Suplex, I'll be on Wilfred this weekend. So, you know, like, it's all love. Whenever we got Slew Japan shit, you know Young Boy and Jeremy going to get be on speed dial. But we are taking a bigger role over at thechairshot.com. And Greg basically told us to use your head. And we're using...
Always.
So I want to thank him for the opportunity. I want to thank him for believing in us just as much as Jeremy has. But, you know, man, this is... Kyle was just... It's funny how somebody says something to you that doesn't really resonate until it becomes a real thing. But literally 5 minutes ago, Kyle just said to me that, you know, you can't stress over your hobby. I shouldn't be saying this, but I just got out of the hospital. I almost had a heart attack. I just got out of the hospital 2 days ago, and I'm staring at all of this extra stuff that is a new lifestyle change for me, essentially. And you know, I got on the call today with Kyle, and I was stressed about the show because, man, y'all know me, man. Things get to me so much with fans and this and that. And Kyle was like, "It's your hobby. Don't get that stressed over it." And, you know, I look at that and then I look at where we're going with the show. And, you know, I was stressed about the move. I was stressed about the new opportunities. And everything has come out so perfectly and people have been so accommodating and things have worked out. And it's funny how everything comes full circle for you when you don't even plan for it to come full circle. So I just wanted to give one more shout out and one more genuine thank you to Jeremy and Josh and Rich and James and everybody over Ricky and Clive, everybody over at Social Suplex. We always got love for Social Suplex for life. We're gonna do this chair shot thing and we'll hook back up sometime in the future, I'm sure. And yeah, man, we're gonna really try to continue to give you this good content.
And most importantly, we're gonna continue to bring the power of positivity
P-O-P-O.
To your wrestling consumption, because there's not enough positivity out there in Wrestleverse, y'all.
Positivity? Liberty?
Don't call my ability to speak the English language. For all you know, it's not my primary language. It is, but for all you know, it's not.
Well, 21 Savage is British. You might be an illegal. I don't know.
Yeah, I might be. You never know. I'm brown. Ask what Brown can do for you.
Brown, gay, and illegal, bro. That's a hell of a life.
Yo, man, that's a trifecta.
He's not illegal. It's a joke.
Three things that scare white people.
He's not illegal, guys. It's a joke. Don't call ICE. It's just
No, I was born in upstate New York. I have a birth certificate and shit. Yo, man, so a lot of shit's been going down since we've... last come to session.
Yo, that company.
Do you want to start with the crazy shit or the crazy shit?
Well, let me just say this. That company down in Jacksonville is damn sure they're trying to get all the headlines. And I ain't mad at them. That's what you got to do in business.
Oh, yeah, man. Get your hustle on. I'm not mad at them. Now, Chris, I need you to calm down on your drunken tweets, though, because, like, damn, son. But what we really need to mention before we get into the company down in Jacksonville, Brother Rance, we got to mention the fact that somehow, some way, out to proverbial ether, the grand finesser of all finessers in the history of wrestling finesse has managed to slither his way onto our television screens.
Is that how we're going to start the show? Really?
Oh, hell yeah. That's how we're going to start the show. Somehow, J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T is getting some more of Vince McMahon's money.
Let me tell you something. For those of you who think Vince is the devil, he might be. But he very well might be like,
you don't know.
Like the
we
devil's cousin.
We can't confirm or deny that.
We cannot. But you can't tell me that Vince don't believe in business more than his personal feelings. Because for that man to not only be back, but to get a Hall of Fame induction and a match on Raw.
And a big angle with Elias, one of the most over people on the roster. Oh, they turned Elias heel for Jeff Jarrett.
In 2019, dog. Then they brought back Road Dogg, not the Roadie Road Dogg, but DX Road Dogg, to prop him up and get some goodwill with the crowd. Jeff Jarrett is the face in an angle on Raw in 2019. Like, I'm just waiting for winter to come. Like, where are the White Walkers?
Like, there is a reason it is the Jeff Jarrett Finesser of the Year Award. And that is because here in 2019, this motherfucker is still strutting his ass on out to the ring with the guitar and the same fucking look that he's had since 2000.
Well, hey, that's better than the old school Jeff Jarrett with the...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it beats the suspenders and the mullet.
So, okay. So, to kind of make a segue into AEW, honest question.
Oh, you mean people who took Jeff Jarrett's money?
There you go. Honest question. If the same venture that AEW is doing was done, but you replace Cody, the Bucks, and All Elite with Jeff Jarrett, Karen, and Global Force Wrestling, would fans be as excited about it? Same thing, Tony Khan behind it with the Khan family. The same everything except for the people running it and the name.
Jeff and Jerry Jarrett did this same shit in 2002 with the weekly pay-per-views, only they didn't have a billionaire backing them.
That's what I'm
they
saying.
Did not have
That's
a billionaire
a big
backing
difference.
Them.
That's a huge
no, the
difference.
Billionaire backing them is a big difference. But, I mean, no, nobody would be as excited about it because it's Jeff Jarrett.
There are rumors that AEW is possibly getting the biggest TV deal since WCW.
If they get, and if that happens, then we got to take them very seriously. If that happens, we got to take them very, very seriously.
That's all they need.
Because the thing is, you know, a lot of people think that we're haters. We're not.
Realistic.
Exactly. We're not haters. I went to All In. I was there. It was the most fun I've ever had at a live show. And I've been to WrestleMania. Like, it was great. We're not haters. We're realistic. If you don't have a TV deal and you're not consistently putting out product, how am I supposed to buy into you as, like, the next great thing?
Our criticisms, not complaints, but criticisms have been that what they're saying in public isn't matching up with the truth is. And we've called it out very clearly. That's fine. I understand it. It's a carny company. It's a carny industry. We get that.
Yeah, the optics.
Another one of them, of course, was the lack of a TV deal, which, of course, was inevitable. But still, you can't put them in the echelon until they actually filled the quota. And then I think the third thing for me, more importantly, is we don't know their business structure. All of this is conjecture. They're flying by the seat of their pants. And I'm not saying that they don't have a plan. I'm not saying that they're not. They're actually, if you watch the beginning of the Elite or pay attention to everything they're doing, they are carrying out their plan, and they're doing a pretty damn good job of it. But there is no discernible business structure for an interested fan who cares about more than what's happening in between the ropes.
If I were an investor, why should I throw money at it?
100%.
And, you know, another not so much criticism, but thing that we've been saying wait and see. Like, people were ready to throw their hats in this ring when all they knew about it was that it was going to be the Elite guys. Like,
not even the Elite guys. Four of them.
Yeah, just Cody, Hangman, and the Bucks. Oh, and Kenny. Well, maybe Kenny, because Kenny's not confirmed.
Can't say that
We
yet.
Don't know what Kenny's doing.
100%.
But, yeah, The only thing we knew for sure was Cody Hangman and the Bucks. And probably Marty when his deal expires. Probably. If Marty don't go to Titantown. Which you never know.
I think Marty's a lock for Titantown, to be honest with you, but sure.
I mean, I think Marty should be a lock for Titantown, but like that's not the point. Unless AEW takes off and it's financially worth it for him, then you know what I mean? Fuck it, do you, son.
Yeah, but 100%.
No, but our thing has just been wait and fucking see. Like, I need more than those four guys. And they've started to sign more people, and I am somewhat impressed with the roster that they're starting to put together. But again, what is the business model? What is this television deal? Give me concrete numbers. But to segue to another topic.
Before you do that, because we need to spend a lot of time on that topic. Before you do that, let's talk about the roster for a second. Because I'm not going to say I'm not impressed. The people they're signing are individually tremendous performers. Tremendous. Excellent. I love them. I love them all. And even in a roster space, I love it. Here's the one thing that I have a question about that their fans, I'm sure, don't care about, but will become a problem. I promise you it will be. You're signing all these big-time names. You got Cody. You got Nick and Matt Jackson, Hangman, Hangman Page, Pac, Joey Janela, MJF, you know, now Pentagon and Phoenix, like Jimmy Havoc signed today, Jungle Boy, the Strong Hearts. Like, you got a hell of a roster, right? Somebody got to lose. SCU.
Yeah.
Somebody got to lose. And All I hear from their fans is, because we're going to segue to your thing about the AEW rumors of people in WWE leaving and possibly going to AEW.
Oh, that wasn't what I was segueing to.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
I was segueing to something else entirely, but let's continue on your train of thought because I can segue to that at any point
In
the AEW discussion.
Okay, cool. Well, that's pretty going to be much probably be the crux of a lot of what we talk about here. But all I'm hearing is, and we'll get into them more specifically in a second, but your Ambroses and your possibly your Hideos and Mike Kanellis and the Revival. All I'm hearing is fans want them to leave and go other places, specifically AEW, because they're being underutilized. Well, what is your definition of underutilized? Because they're just going to go to AEW for less dates, comparable money, and to continue losing, what's the point? Like, somebody got to lose.
One of the things that they criticize WWE for is a lack of roster positioning. And it's like, how are you going to have roster positioning if literally everybody you've got is top tier or upper mid card? Like, who are your jobbers? Are your jobbers?
Jimmy Havoc, your guys like MJF, your guys like George Janela, when this everything starts, they're probably going to be your guys. And they're all top-level talent. So those of you listening who are fans of those guys,
Let MJF do literally anything on my television, and I will be entertained. But I'm watching a totally different reason.
Yes, you are. But all three of those guys could be top-level talent on, maybe not in WWE yet, but, you know, on NXT or any other show, right? They're all that talented. But they're probably going to start off as the guys who are going to start losing most of the matches at the beginning. That's fine.
Probably.
You know.
Speaking of Joey Janela, quick shout-out to the angle that he's doing with gay wrestler Effie, because I prop for that.
By the way, Effie...
Effie's awesome. He's from South Carolina. If you ever get a chance to see him, he's great.
That's a good guy for them to look and sign.
Yes, Effie's fucking great.
But somebody got to lose.
Yeah, somebody's got
to
lose.
So if Ambrose goes AEW, you're telling me he's gonna be utilized better than he was in WWE? Former world champion, headline to WrestleMania.
No, here's what gets me with the Ambrose to AEW shit. What was one of the biggest criticisms people had about TNA?
Oh, all WWE castoffs.
Yeah, all a bunch of people who felt like they got shafted by WWE and they were going to go beat a big fish in a small pond, and then we saw how that worked out.
And okay, so let's talk about these guys.
And that does not include people like Jericho or like that Orton rumor or whatever. There's a difference between being a castoff and being a legend. Legends can go wherever the fuck they want,
Sting and Angle,
whenever the fuck they want, do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Jericho is that status. If that Orton rumor is true, he's that status. He's a legend in the industry. He could do what the fuck he wants, where the fuck he wants.
Sure.
And nobody cares. John Cena, if he decided to quit tomorrow, could do the same shit. Well, because he's John fucking Cena.
He is just in Hollywood, but yes.
But yeah, like, so like, that's not the people we're talking about. Like, we're talking, you know, Dean Ambrose has a lot of Christian-esque qualities, except Dean won a title.
Not only did Dean win a title, Dean is a part of what WWE themselves called the greatest faction of all time. Dean is the longest-reigning United States champion in WWE history.
Dean is essentially like a Kevin Nash, Scott Hall-esque person leaving a company. That is for sure. But, like, what makes him think that the grass is definitely greener where he's going? He doesn't know that yet.
So let's talk about these guys individually. We kind of jumped into it, but yes, while we were gone, I'm sure if you listen to the show, you know, a number of possible releases or... So there are rumors, and then there were concrete stuff. We're going to speak about the concrete things. I don't know how real this is. I still feel like there's something worky about it. But WWE has acknowledged the rumor that Dean Ambrose, real name Jonathan Good, will be leaving WWE after his contract is up.
And that is exactly what feels worky about it. That is what feels so worky about it.
They acknowledged it and said it's
real. Is that they're talking about it. Because Hideo Itami requested his release, got his release, and ain't nobody said shit about it.
We only knew about
Hideo changed his Twitter handle back to Kenta.
We only knew it because of that, and because Gallagher does 205 live little videos on Twitter. And they did the one on Hideo leaving. Other than that, you would have known if you didn't read the dirt sheets.
Exactly. So, like, and that's normally how these release things work. When dude from the Mighty, and I mean, I know it's NXT, so like that's a little bit different.
Nick Miller.
But when Nick Miller requested his release, he requested his release. He was released. They put out a little blurb saying, "We've come to terms with this release." That was it. It was done. So like them acknowledging and making this big story out of, because make no mistake, y'all, when that shit hits the dirt sheets, they knew it was going to hit the dirt sheets.
Oh, yeah.
And capitalized on that. Y'all are being worked. This is the new kayfabe. But anyway, that's another topic for another day.
100%. Now, speaking on the Ambrose thing, I guess before we talk about what's... Let's start with this. We know... If you believe what the report is that he's leaving after April, it doesn't say that all this says is that he's not renewing his contract. It doesn't say that technically he's leaving. He might just be taking a break. You know, we don't know what's going on. That's what I think everybody's so willing and ready to put him somewhere else, because that would be essentially the first big regular fish to leave.
That's a Kevin Nash, Scott Hall level. Departure.
Sure, and it's essentially if CM Punk left when he did, but he went somewhere else. Now Ambrose doesn't seem to be disenamored with WWE. I just feel like he's wants something different, a change of scenery, so to speak. But yes, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash level move is exactly what it is. And he'd be an asset wherever he goes, because Ambrose is a main eventer. Has been his entire time in WWE. All those pay-per-views that Brock Lesnar wasn't there when he was champ, Ambrose main evented a good chunk of those.
And Ambrose has done the indie thing before enough to where, like, you know he can do it with the strings cut loose. You know that he can. He's charismatic. He can talk. He can build a character. Like, we know these things about him.
Are you one of those people that hates the heel version of Ambrose?
I don't hate the heel version of Ambrose. I feel bad for a lot of the performers because, and I understand why WWE has to be as scripted as they are, but they're so heavily scripted that it robs most of the performers of the authenticity.
But I don't think Ambrose is one of those guys that's scripted. Look at how he says and what he says and does. Either that or he's a master at taking what they give him and regurgitating it. Like the promo with Triple H 2 weeks ago, that wasn't scripted to me. And then him talking to Nia, my animal, my raw sexual magnetism, that's not something they would write. I feel like
Ambrose. I didn't see that segment, so I have no idea.
Yeah, like Ambrose is. I think Ambrose is. There are a few people that I think we know for a fact. They don't write for them. They collab with them because they've earned their trust. If you don't believe me, the New Day is a very popular version of that. New Day's promos are not written by creative. They collab with creative because they've earned their right to do what they want because they've sold so much fucking merch over the past 5 years. Ambrose has always been one of those guys to me. We're not talking about a Roman, or we're not talking about even a Rollins. Ambrose came in the company knowing that if he could do nothing else, he could talk. Like Ambrose, I think Bray Wyatt, like these are people, Samoa Joe, these are people that aren't scripted.
Shit, Bray Wyatt might need more scripting because like he can talk, but man, them promos got a little out there.
Well, yeah, because he didn't ever back up anything he said.
Shit. Speaking of, come back, Bray.
And you know, we're jumping around like forever, but you know, AEW's making these big signings, and these possible people leaving WWE are rumored to go there. But nobody's talking about the people who are in the process of coming back to WWE, or the people that they've signed who haven't debuted. Like, so it's not like they're missing anybody that's leaving. You know?
Well, I mean, no, they've become the juggernaut. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, that's part of the reason why people want AEW to succeed so hard, and why, you know, and well. In a lot of ways, I'd love for them to succeed, excuse me, as well, because, you know, when you've got a juggernaut like that, I don't think excessive consumption and signing up every living star is necessarily a good move. So, like, you know, but I mean, WWE is not going to die out. Like, they're the machine.
You really believe that they hoard wrestlers?
I wouldn't call it necessarily hoarding. I wouldn't call what they do hoarding. I would call what they do a business practice. Like, you've got the money and the assets to accumulate talent, so accumulate said talent. That's I wouldn't call that hoarding. I'd call that smart business practice.
So many people think that they hoard talent, but they have five regular brands. Then of course they have touring NXT touring that's kind of like just learning the ropes, right? That's the Largo loop, if you will. Then they're working on building the NXT India and the NXT Middle East and the NXT Asia and NXT Latin America. So,
like, well, I think a lot of people confuse the term hoarding with what the reality is, which is something we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, and that's that they don't release talent anymore.
And when is that ever? Unless
people ask for their release, they don't get cut. And I don't want to say, hold on, I got another sneeze coming. Excuse me. Thank you. It's this damn unseasonably warm temperature in the middle of fucking February because we're killing the planet.
Shout out to the Captain Planet.
Shout out to Captain Planet. He ain't wrong. He's spitting hot fire truths with a hot fire belt. But anyway, no, it's something that we talked about here on the show before. It's that, like, they used to release guys who had, like, kind of fallen out of favor or lost steam or they just weren't using. Yeah, they had the spring cleaning and they don't do that anymore. And I think the reason that fans have begun to see it as a negative is because the people that would normally get released are people that they want to see. I don't know. I can't think of anybody. I'm just trying to put myself in the mindset of the fickle fan base.
Okay. So we kind of talked about Ambrose. We didn't go really in depth, but man, that's one of the most perplexing things I've seen in my 20 plus years of watching wrestling. But Hideo. Let's talk about Hideo for a second.
I mean, Hideo is just a case of bad luck. Like,
he's definitely a case of bad luck. From an injury standpoint, from an in-ring standpoint. But did you see the 205 live thing?
No, is the answer, because you said 205 live.
But it's just a Twitter three-minute video that Jack Gallagher does every week.
No, is the answer, because it's 205 live. So I haven't seen it, but please tell me about it.
I don't know. I think it's called 205 Living, he calls it, whatever. But every week is basically like a behind-the-scenes vlog vlog video of like one of the guys. Like, it's one week it's Noam Dar, one week it's Buddy Murphy, one week it's Cedric Alexander, whatever. And they're really, really interesting because it shows them interacting with other talent. It shows, like, it's really interesting to kind of see those guys behind the scenes. This one was about Hideo. And they're backstage talking with him and Arya Daivari. You don't watch 205 Live, but Arya Daivari just came back from injury, and he was put with Hideo so Hideo could just focus on wrestling, Arya could talk. Because Hideo got a bit of a mini push before he left here. And they were talking about that. And the whole time, Hideo just kept talking about how much he missed Japan and how he was happy he was here, but he was uncomfortable. It didn't feel right. And, you know, how hard English was. He said English was the hardest thing he's ever had to do. He spoke about when he went back to Japan for one of the tours. He said he had real sushi and, like, his face just stopped and, like, lit up. And he was like, I miss it. You know, so after his match, his last match, I can't remember who it was against, but I know Arya turned on him. Daivari turned on him. After he came back to Gorilla, Shinsuke and Oscar are waiting there for him. And Shinsuke gives him the biggest bear hug, probably held him for like a minute or longer. And that was his, everybody knew he was leaving. I just really feel, if you look at all the evidence, Hideo just missed home.
I mean, I could totally buy into that. For those of you that don't know this because you're not a language person, and I would understand that because here in the U.S. we don't emphasize languages enough. English is the hardest language to learn in the world. The hardest language. Because our language is so complex, we have so many words that sound the exact same but have completely different meanings. We have three different theirs, three different twos. We have read and red, and they're spelled the same, but one is past tense of the other.
Yeah.
Like, we got shit like that going on in our language. Imagine being a non-native speaker of that and being expected to not only learn it, but to learn it well enough to articulate like raw emotions to a crowd of native speakers.
Yes,
that is what our foreign talents are dealing with. So, like, if it takes, you know, if Shinsuke's been in the fucking company for 10 or for 6 years now, blah blah blah, I don't want to hear shit about how his English isn't good enough. His English is damn fucking good.
And Shinsuke spoke conversational English before he got here. But you can still see the struggles he has with promos.
Yeah, like, and his English is damn good. But there's a difference. So I can totally get that, and I can totally get being homesick, and I can totally get all of those things. But I also think that the bad luck part plays into it because as homesick as he was, I feel like if you're on top and about to, like, being one of the main programs at WrestleMania or some shit, it's a whole lot easier to stomach your homesickness.
So you're right. And I want to point out to those listening who would criticize us in this moment. Hideo, it's not like they gave Hideo nothing.
They gave Hideo chances, but Hideo, unfortunately, had a terrible timing with getting hurt.
Right. And I want to point out specifically, every time Hideo got hurt, he was in the midst of not just a push, but a title push.
We'll never find out who attacked him in that parking lot. We'll never find out. It was Kevin Owens. But we'll never find out.
Wow, that's unfortunate. That was the gangster line ever.
Yeah. Like, you know, people talk about Johnny Gargano jumped Aleister Black. Who jumped Hideo Itami? And William Regal, where was this sleuth level of detective work when Hideo got jumped?
You know why Kevin jumped Hideo? because Hideo pied him at that at the 4th of July thing.
Shit, if Cesaro jumped somebody every time he got pied or dunked in an apple cart.
Everybody get those hands.
Shit, Cesaro would never stop jumping. Just stop jump zone.
I do appreciate, though, that they tried their best to give Hideo something.
And they hyped the shit out of him at any opportunity. Like, when he first signed, like, they hyped the fuck out of him.
Let me give you perspective. Before he was the pariah we know him to be now, when Hideo signed, they sent Hulk Hogan to sign his contract in the ring. And this was before he was the pariah he is now. He was still loved back then. That you don't get much bigger than that for a foreign signing.
Yeah, like, he was highly, highly touted because at the time he was one of the biggest stars in Japan. And if he's still going to wrestle, he could, you know what company really needs junior heavyweights? Like, really needs junior heavyweights?
And he's never wrestled there.
And he's a Japanese performer, so he doesn't have the gaijin stigma. Yo, I am all in for Kenta versus Shingo. Make it happen, bitches.
I'm with it. I am with it. It kills me. Look, I appreciate
it. It kills me that it's going to happen after Kushida leaves.
That's going to be sad.
Like, Kenta versus Kushida, shut up and take my money.
My God. God, you need, like Ronda said Monday, Ice Naville, bitch. Golly. But no, it bothers me. It's like, I appreciate weight classes. But man, a guy like Hideo, or Kenta, since I guess we're going to call him back his real name now. Man, Kenta should be a heavyweight over there. But if he was a 205 here, if he was a cruiser here, then I guess he'd be a cruiser over there. But Hideo's he's a legend in Japan. He's a legend.
Absolutely legendary. I mean, he could come in as a heavyweight. I'm not saying he has to come in as a junior. I'm just saying they desperately need juniors, and that would slot real nice. He would slot real nice into that Kushida slot.
And Gato wants a junior who is just a pure face. Hideo could be that guy that's not affiliated with any of the stables.
Not part of any of the stables because he's never wrestled for the company, so he doesn't have history with those stables.
Yeah, Shingo versus Hideo would be like, give me 25 minutes, my God.
Yeah, I'm with that. But you know, whether these people leave and go to Japan or they go to AEW or they go to Impact or Ring of Honor or any of those companies.
MLW,
at least they're going to be paid for their services and not kept from working. Which is not the case in all companies, Brother Rance.
Oh, well, please do tell.
Well, you know, there's this really hyped company here in the States that puts on great television, owned by the El Rey Network. Have you heard of this network?
And by Rey, you mean King.
Yes, I mean Rey, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars.
Okay.
Lucha Underground is the subject of many, many, many lawsuits right now from their talent for a number of reasons. Most of them have to do with the fact that Lucha Underground keeping their talent from making some fucking money.
Well, that's always a problem.
Well, the problem, for those that don't know, there are a couple of big lawsuits going on. One of them is a personal lawsuit filed by King Cuerno, better known as El Hijo de Fantasma.
Yes.
He is suing the company for lost wages, essentially, because the terms of the contracts that they've apparently signed with Lucha Underground, which in some case goes a little bit on the performer, but bear with me here, we can overlook that because this is an egregious error here. There are terms in this contract where the performers have to get permission from Lucha Underground to take any booking of any kind.
Outside of the company.
Outside of the company. And yet they only get paid by the company if they're used by the company, which is a major problem because unlike literally every other wrestling promotion, Lucha Underground doesn't run tours or house shows or any kind of shows.
Just their random tapings 3 months a year.
Yes, for television, if they have them. Speaking of which, literally everyone affiliated with the company at any point has said that they have no fucking idea if season 5 is even going to be a thing. No one has been contacted about it. And the company won't let them out of their contracts.
And that's... Now, I didn't know about the Fantastic Kid, King Crono, but I did know about Ivelisse.
Yeah, Ivelisse is part of a class action lawsuit along with Joey Ryan and Cobra Moon.
Okay.
They are all suing Lucha Underground for basically the same thing, you know, loss of wages, being prevented from working in their trade, What was the other part? Loss of wages, being prevented working through trade. And refusing to release them from their contracts, even though they were originally told after season 4 they could go.
So that's a huge breach of contract. On all three levels.
All of these counts. Well, in King Cuerno's case, he was smart enough to file suit in California because that's where they do all the filmings. And preventing someone from working in their profession but not providing them with opportunities to earn a wage from your company is a violation of California state laws. So, like, they're violating some labor laws. And California is a real, real liberal state. So, like...
So he about to go back to AAA with that good money.
Oh, yeah. Like, the judge about to break a gavel off in that ass.
Okay. I guess my only question is, since, I mean, I know Lucha Underground, I've watched the show, I know the guys they have. If I'm not mistaken, Jack Swagger's the world champ over there, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How does this affect AAA? Does it affect AAA in any way since they're affiliated heavily with Lucha Underground? Would they be liable for any of this?
The only ways that I can see AAA being liable are under two conditions. Now, granted, I am not a lawyer. I do teach a little bit of law, and I know a little bit of law. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. If you're an expert on tort, please, by all means, slide up in the DMs and let us know where we fucked up. But I could see AAA being held liable if they were specifically named a defendant in the suit. And in the Cuerno suit, I don't know how likely that is because Phantasma might not want to bite that hand that feeds.
He's still signed.
Yeah, he's still signed with AAA, and he's a big name for, or maybe he's with CMLL now. But either way, he's a big name in Mexico, and he's not trying to fuck that up. Or if there's like ownership relations between AAA and Lucha Underground, because otherwise, a working affiliation is not in any way a financial agreement. That ain't got nothing to do with the way the contracts are written or sure. The money involved.
But the reverberations of if it blew back on AAA would be huge.
Oh, absolutely. What's going to end the show is no wrestler will sign with them knowing what they know. Like, wrestling is still a small fraternity of people. Yeah. In terms of, like, when you get to the level of people that are on, like, televised shows, like, that is a small fraternity of people. And when names like Joey Ryan and Ivelisse are part of class action lawsuits saying don't sign with these companies.
Yeah.
Like, shit. If Joey Ryan won't work with you, that is a huge red flag to me because, like, Joey is about working with literally anyone. He's all about wrestling is for everyone. Yeah. Blah, 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 like...
He'll come to my backyard and work a show with, like, 7 people.
Yeah. If he thinks it'll help sell you 6 more tickets, shit. Because, like, that's what I love about Joey Ryan. People can hate on the dick flip all they want. You're fine. Hate on it all you want. But, like, Joey Ryan is awesome for wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to be in the main event of a show. He'll come and be the opener of a show, let you market the shit out of the fact that he's going to be there, and sell a full house.
Agreed. Agree 100%. I need those guys.
And all you PWG marks out there, he was one of the founders of the company. So, like.
Yeah. So, yeah. If I were them, I would call Ricochet or Rey Mysterio or Conan and figure out how the hell they got out of their contracts. Because if you remember, Ricochet wanted to sign 2 years before he did. But he knew he had to finish that next season.
I think Conan was shown the door. Because remember, him and AAA had another falling out, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's,
I mean, you know, Conan stay falling out with AAA. And with Vampiro in such a leading role in AAA, it was only a matter of time anyway.
Yo, we're talking about all these feuds that ain't never going to end.
I was going to say, you want to talk Peter Griffin and the Big Chicken, like Vampiro and Conan.
Man, 30 years, dog. Something like that.
Yeah, they both look it, too.
Might well look.
I mean, shit, man. Conan looked like he belongs in assisted living.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and he says he wants to get in shape and wrestle one more tour.
Bruh, no.
Because he feels like he was robbed of his last few matches with the degenerative hip. Now that it's replaced, he wants to get in shape and do one more. Conan.
Oh, yeah, say no.
Yes.
No.
You are good, mi amigo. Like, chill. You're doing a wonderful thing with Ortiz and Santana. They are a tremendous tag team.
Stick to managing, bro. Please.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I want to kind of, I guess we could put a bow on the AEW thing and even this. I want to actually get your ideas. I know you hate them. I'm going to say it for you. Go away. But the rumors came out originally, I think the Twitter page is like at Russell Votes or something, but they said that a high level, a huge big money offer has been given to a top high level long standing WWE superstar from AEW. Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful came out and said that he's been told that it's Randy Orton. Now Randy Orton has been given a contract offer per se that we know of. But he has said he's willing to talk. Remember, Randy kind of raised Cody a bit in the legacy thing. Those guys are close. So I wouldn't put it past Randy to listen. Do you think, number one, Randy would entertain the offer of leaving WWE? And two, what do you think Randy Orton could do for All Elite Wrestling?
Do I think Randy would entertain the offer? Well, I mean,
not the money, but actually leaving the company that he was born and raised in, that his daddy was born and raised in, and his grandpa helped build. This ain't just one dude leaving. This is three generations.
You know,
Cowboy Bob Orton was in the main event of the first WrestleMania.
If Cody wasn't involved with AEW, I would say not a chance. But like him and Cody go way back, so like. I could see him at least listening for Cody's sake. Like, yo, you're my friend, so I'll at least, like, pick up the phone if you call me. But no promises. Now, as far as what he could do for AEW, I mean, he's a legend in the industry, and he gets pops everywhere he goes.
And when he's motivated, there's not five wrestlers in the world better.
So, like, he could do a lot for them. They need those kinds of names. Like, as much as we talk about how they're signing good people and they're people we care about, the people we care about because we're wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton's a name that even casual fans know.
Yes.
Like, everybody knows who the fuck Randy Orton is. Everybody knows RKO. And I mean, I'd fully support it if for no other reason than I wanted him off a WWE screen for a long fucking time. So, like... away with you. And I wouldn't hate seeing him in AEW because, like, at least over there, it would be hopefully not the same fucking shit.
Oh, no. It's going to be worse. Because he'll have creative control. So he'll do exactly what he wants.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so if he wants to be creepy MAGA Orton, then I can hate him for a different reason.
Sure, but the in-ring stuff is going to be absolutely exactly the same. Only difference is... He'll find some new dudes to RKO. Because everybody's going down. Randy Orton ain't losing for 2 years if he goes to AEW.
Well, he'll be the top heel in the company wrestling that kind of style because the fans will hate him for it.
They'll love him for signing, then hate him as soon as he starts wrestling.
Yeah, because he wrestles that slow as fuck style.
This is where my
I figured out that that's part of why I don't like Seth, is he's too deliberate.
Okay.
His matches are paced in such a way that it makes me tune out.
He is the architect.
Yeah, and the architect of a formula that I'm not into.
I will say that whatever they do with Brock is because Brock's matches are so high octane, especially when they get going. You don't have to worry about that with that match. I don't believe that. I feel like that's going to be like a barn burner from the beginning. This is the Homer in me speaking. This is not Ray the thinker or Ray the objective human being. This is Ray the Homer. It bothers me when I think about these lifers leaving because I'm a loyalist at my heart. I'm genuinely a loyalist. Like, I get Cody leaving because his dad essentially was an American Ronin who, when he did settle down, he settled down and built one company up. Cody wants to do that. I respect that. The Bucks have always been wanderers. Like, I can get that. But, like, Ambrose leaving and Randy possibly leaving or stuff like that kind of bothers me inside because I want to see people who were born and raised in a company. Like, the Hanoi family, the Hart family, not the Rose family, but the Orton family. Like, these are families that go WWF, WWE.
Well, I mean, 30, if it makes 40, you feel years. Any better, well, then if it makes you feel any better, the reports are that the Usos aren't even considering signing anywhere else. So,
oh, no, they're lifetime,
they'll
bro.
Be staying.
They're lifetime. They're lifetime.
No, man, Polynesians are loyal.
They are down since day one.
Yeah, day one-ish, man.
So
great promo they cut on Tuesday.
Every promo they do is great, bro, because it's from the heart, dog.
Yeah, because they got that soul, that fire.
Bro, and Shane and Miz ain't ready.
Yo, can we just talk about, like, the racial dichotomy of that feud? Like, it don't come too much more white bread than Shane and the Miz.
Yeah,
and like the Usos are real street, like real street.
Can I mention something? Like, so you know, first and foremost, shout out to the fact that even though you hate this angle, it's really turned Miz into a full fledged genuine babyface.
Man, yeah, but like,
I know what you mean. I know I'm with you, but that is
and Shane is doing so much fucking cocaine, dude. Like, I don't know if I'm not even joking. Like, I don't know if it's as obvious to everybody else, but like, homeboy is out of breath and sniffling like from the moment he get to the ring, and like he is moving around wired as fuck. And I'm just like, damn, bro, put the coke down. Put it
That's funny.
Down.
That's funny. So, you know how a big part of the crux of their story to get together was about Miz's dad, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned the dichotomy, racial dichotomy specifically between those two teams. But you do know Miz did describe his dad at one point when he was growing up as saying that his dad was probably a little racist. So, we're giving George all the love because, you know, but I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking like...
Yeah, but I mean, if we got to get the dads involved, like, we know who Jimmy and Jay's dad is, and we know how he get down, because he did it for The Rock.
He did it for my people. Tell you, the annoys run deep, bro.
Yo, man, I mean, you know, if Kishi's doing it for his people, though, then I'm a respect it, because we all know who Rikishi's tag team partner used to be. Rikishi, for a short period of time, was Samu. In the tag team, fucking Samu. I ain't Samoan trying to fuck team. With Samu.
Samoan SWAT team. Speaking of that, you know who Samu's son is, right?
Shit.
Shout out to Roman Reigns, man. Get healthy. I love that you're healthy. I love that you're in a movie. I'm happy to see that you're doing well. So, we just barely mentioned the main event. Let's talk about the possible main event of WrestleMania. Can we do that?
Are we talking about the actual possible main event of WrestleMania, or are we talking about, like, in my pretend heart, the possible main event of WrestleMania? Because I know that Captain Planet's not going to be in the main event, but, like, it's cool.
Well, why would it be in the main event if we don't even know who the fuck is going to wrestle? You can't build to the match.
I know that, Rance. I know that. I know that. But you and I also both know that for the last 6 months, I've been talking about how desperately I want the WWE title to main event a show.
You're right, but we also do know that the second Becky won it, the pay-per-view at the SummerSlam, you
maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe I'll get lucky, and they'll main event Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, they probably will.
Get lucky.
They probably will.
And I'll be like, yes, the WWE title is finally the main event of the pay-per-view.
That's a wonderfully built match, by the way. All six of
them. It is a wonderfully built match, yeah. And it's a match I am very much looking forward to. A match that involves Randy Orton is a match that I'm looking forward to.
Well, that just goes to show you how much you love the other five.
Well, I mean, that angle is so great. And, like, I am here for Captain Planet. Like, I am here for it. I'm here for – I'm unexpectedly here for Eric Rowan with a microphone.
I'm about to say, like, Eric Rowan is no –
unexpectedly.
Now, you remember when he originally broke from the Wyatt family, they tried to say he was a savant, but didn't quite get over like they wanted? Well, they went right back to it.
They gave him the Luke Gallows treatment.
I'm telling you, it's the straight vegan society. When you see a random woman on the roster shave her head or something, then you start wearing flannel out of nowhere. But no, we need to talk Becky, Ronda, and possibly Charlotte, because that's the biggest WWE news of the moment. The report says.
Go ahead. You'll appreciate it because I've been unabashedly the defender of Becky for the last however long. They are laying on these, like, Austin-esque shit way too thick.
Oh!
Way too thick. Oh. I do not need her versus Stephanie to be the new thing.
No, okay, I don't think that her versus Stephanie is the new thing. This is what I think they're doing. I think they realize we have 9 weeks to WrestleMania. We can't put Becky in any other feuds because Becky would have to win said feuds to keep her over, and we don't want to put anybody else down. So what we'll do is we'll find an angle to keep her hot while she don't have to wrestle. So Steph will be the catalyst, but the bigger thing was Triple H start Tuesday. But we'll put her in a situation where she thinks the authority is against her, but really, it's the DTA vibes from Austin and whatnot.
Yeah, because it's just too thick.
As with everything with Becky from the moment she turned, once again, Becky is wrong in what she's doing, but the crowd doesn't care. Why would you not go see the doctor?
Yeah.
You think the doctor's going to tell you? You're very, very clear.
I feel the same way about this angle that I do about Daniel Bryan being the bad guy for talking about how we should, you know, care about the planet. Like, I find it hard to believe that Hunter and Stephanie are the bad people in this scenario because they're like, bitch, go to the doctor. Bitch, get cleared. What makes you the bad person for telling someone, for telling another human, like, hey, friend, you're kind of injured. Maybe you should, you know, not be injured to compete.
Go further than that. They just happen to be executive vice presidents of a company that's going to make over $100 million with her being at the marquee of it. They kind of want her healthy for that match.
Yeah, so like from the storyline standpoint, I'm just like, no, I'm all about booing Stephanie because like I'm just generally always about booing Stephanie.
She's excellent at getting booed.
Yeah, I grew up in the Attitude Era. Booing Stephanie is like gospel. Second nature.
Yeah.
So like I'm down with that, but like Stephanie's not the bad person here. She told Becky to go to a doctor.
And then Becky jumped her.
Yeah, like just straight jumps on the bitch.
Yeah, man. I hope you remember what I told you. I think it was the night after she won the world title.
That Heavy Machinery would be the Raw Tag Team Champions inside 6 months?
I told you that. I told y'all that. So
it's going to happen, y'all. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But no, again, give me my flowers while I'm still alive. But no, I told you by this time next year, the crowd's going to turn on her. Because, and yes, WWE probably deserves some of the blame because they're trying to acquiesce. This is one of the few, y'all say WWE doesn't listen to y'all. This is one of the few times they're acquiescing to every single thing you want. You want Becky, Becky, and more Becky. They're giving you Becky, Becky, and more Becky. Can't complain. They're giving you everything you want. But the character is such an ingratiating, undeserving character that the people are going to turn on her eventually because she is complaining about Charlotte and Stephanie being entitled. Well, she's the one acting entitled.
You know another problem that she's having in terms of, like, the feud options that she's been presented?
Nobody can lose because they're too important?
Well, because by creating women's tag team belts, every other woman on the roster has been thrust into some kind of fucking tag team, and they're doing the whole women's tag team thing storyline. And it's like, okay, this is why I was against introducing women's tag teams. You don't effectively utilize the women as it is. Why would you put more belts into the equation? We got Naomi and Carmella tag teaming. And you know I stand for both of them. I am all about both of those girls. But, like, that's one of the tag teams?
I don't have a problem with that. My bigger issue is that the three SmackDown tag teams didn't have to qualify. They just said we're in it.
That's the problem of having rosters of such vastly different sizes.
100%.
Is you announce that there will be three teams from Raw and three teams from SmackDown. Well, literally every non-singles female wrestler on SmackDown. Literally every female wrestler on SmackDown other than Asuka, the champion, and Charlotte, who's being teased for the triple threat. Because I'm official. Well, Alana's still more valet than actual wrestler.
Well, that's why, because she's in the middle of a story, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't consider Becky part of the SmackDown roster anymore because, like, she basically on Raw now.
Right.
So, like, every woman on SmackDown other than Asuka and Charlotte, which should tell you where that's fucking going, are part of a tag team now because we announced three tag teams for this chamber match.
I would have liked to have seen them bring some of the NXT women up. Just for the match. They didn't have to be called up.
They could have just brought... they could have had Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke lose a match. Like...
Kyrie and Io.
Yeah, like...
They could have
thrown together fucking Nikki and Lacey and just said, well, you're the two new girls, so this is your opportunity.
No, Nikki and Foxy makes too much sense.
Oh, Nikki and Foxy does make sense. You're right.
They're both batshit insane.
It works.
It works so much. No, that gif, or gif, how you say it, of Foxy coming out at the Royal Rumble is the greatest thing ever.
Of her dancing as she's coming out?
And to what does the Fox say? It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about the possibility of what this match could be. Rumors will tell you that WWE has still plans for it to be Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda. I think I know where you stand because I know you pretty well. Where do you stand?
I generally prefer one-on-one matchups.
Okay.
Especially because there's been a tendency to overuse triple threat matches over the last 3 or 4 years. I feel like we see them all the fucking time. And I just generally prefer a one-on-one match. So that's where I stand. Charlotte will deliver if they put her in the match. Yeah. It will have nothing to do with the quality, but I'm just, like, not really feeling it. I'm also, like, not feeling the angle involving Charlotte because Charlotte and Becky are the same fucking character right now.
But they always have been. That's the beauty, the secret beauty of their feud, is they're essentially, they switch based on their alignment. They're essentially the same person. When Charlotte told Becky that when Becky started becoming the man, Charlotte said, "Oh, I see that you started copying what I used to be," because she genuinely is. Like, they're just they're two sides of the same coin, much like Sasha and Bayley are. That's the beauty of the Four Horsewomen, is those two are so similar in everything they do, in ring styles, in personalities, but they're always on different sides of the spectrum.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I want a triple threat. And I'm going to tell you why I want a triple threat. And for the record, not only do I acknowledge, I believe Becky got to win. I ain't stupid. Becky got to win. But I'm not a person who likes to see wrestlers who have carried the company get pushed to the back burner. I understand if you are putting a marquee match to sell tickets like Rock and Cena was or stuff like that. Like, I get that. But this is the main event. This is the first ever women's main event of WrestleMania. This is going to be the first time that a women's match will actually main event WrestleMania, right? Charlotte has carried the company for women's wrestling the entire year.
Year, Charlotte's carried the company for women's wrestling for the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
You're right. Bro. So you're even adding more credence to my point.
Like, Charlotte is women's wrestling this decade.
100%. 100%. Becky has only been relevant since SummerSlam. So while Becky deserves the spot, while the spot was built for Ronda, no wrestler in that company deserves that spot more than Charlotte. So to see her left out would be a travesty. She would have more of a legit issue than CM Punk did. If she gets left out. Because for what she's done for a genre of wrestling that wasn't even taken seriously, to get left out of the one thing because y'all like one person now all of a sudden, that's not fair to me. So
her and Rick would be the first father-daughter duo to have ever both main evented WrestleMania.
I'm saying. Well, but Rick did main event WrestleMania. Oh, Macho, yeah. Yeah. Because I keep remembering it was supposed to be Rick and Hulk, but they switched it. But now, the idea has come up. Bully Ray was the first to mention it on Busted Open, of the way you acquiesce the fans and you still get your point is, you announce the match that is going to be a triple threat elimination match. That way Becky can beat both Ronda and Charlotte and get the point. Charlotte doesn't need to win. Charlotte could be the first person eliminated. She could be eliminated in 3 minutes. That's fine. The point is she needs to be in the match, in my opinion.
I mean, you articulate your point well. I didn't really have an argument against her in the match other than I prefer one-on-one matches.
Sure. But
so, like,
doesn't this remind you of WrestleMania 20?
Oh, Becky Bean. I remember WrestleMania 20. I actually bought that, or convinced my parents to buy it.
Well, I was a little spoiled brat, so I got all of them. But yes, I did buy that all 5 hours. But Becky seems like Benoit in this situation, only in wrestling alone. Of course, Ronda would be Hunter in the situation, and Charlotte is Shawn Michaels, who had no business being in the match, but found his way in the match. I feel like that's what this feels like, that the story is, I saw, shout out to Will Mahoney on Twitter, who said this, and a great point. Becky's story was never about Ronda. Becky's story was always surpassing Charlotte. And if you want to go by plans, the plan was always for the match to be Charlotte and Ronda. Becky just got herself hot enough to be considered to be put in the match. So to leave Charlotte out is just like it's a disaster of epic proportions, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't think they will. I think that they're making every indication that the direction they're moving with is the triple threat. I'm much more interested in, you know, we talk about we don't know who Daniel's going to face at WrestleMania, like, what the fuck is Asuka doing at WrestleMania? Like, who the hell are they going to have face her?
Well, you know me.
I still want Naomi. Like, yeah. I still do.
I still believe that the reason that the Naomi-Mandy Rose feud is heating up like it is that they're going to have a number one contenders match at Fastlane. The bluff of the feud.
And Mandy is deserving of a number one contenders match because
if you're watching SmackDown, Mandy keeps winning every match she's in. Mandy has been very successful recently. Mandy got the pin this week. Mandy beat Naomi a couple weeks ago.
You know what upsets me about that? I mean, ultimately, I'm okay with it because it's a vehicle to get Naomi over. But what upsets me about it is I love Sonya Deville. Like, I really want them to push Sonya. I want them to push Sonya so bad. I love Sonya.
Her time is coming.
Put your hair up and square up. Like,
By the way, while I love that saying, she says it too much.
I mean, she don't get too much time to say much, so she got to get it in.
Remind him of the catchphrase?
Yep. I mean, shit, Zack Ryder's still woo-woo-wooing.
Okay, scenario for you. The Revival finally get the titles from Rude and
Gage. Oh, they're going to lose them to Hawkins and Ryder, yeah.
But WrestleMania is when you do it. And let Hawkins finally break the streak with him in
pre-show?
Yeah, probably.
It sounds like a great pre-show match. I mean, you know they ain't putting Hawkins and Ryder on the main card.
Well, we say that, but Zack Ryder did win the Intercontinental title on a main pay-per-view.
So the Usos didn't get a WrestleMania until, like, a year ago.
Last year, yeah.
So, like, Hawkins and Ryder going to be put on the WrestleMania card against the Revival in 2019?
But I say this, though, for nothing else. We complain about the Raw Tag Team division being trash.
Because it is.
It is, but those are two legit tag teams. The Major Brothers were a good tag team. Like, Hawkins and Ryder are a good tag team. Are they big names? No. But
no, you know, the only thing I need for them to do, though, I am totally fine with them teaming together. If they're going to team together again, though, like, both of them need to change them looks, because that look, first of all, Ryder's look is awful. Fucking awful. Hawkins' look ain't much better. I need them to figure out a look that works for both of them, but, like, this ain't it.
I agree with you on both counts, but you know how it is when you break up with your tag team partner and then you're
going to
get back. They're going to slowly but surely get back in the groove of it.
Yo, man, I would be so down if they came out in WrestleMania wearing the fucking Rated R outfits.
With Edge being their manager?
Yes, but not Vicky. But not Vicky, because she's canceled. She's canceled. But Edge, come.
Yes. That would get him on the main card.
That would get him on the main fucking card. That's how you get him over. That's how you get this over.
Somebody put call them Adam. Back in
the Rated R tights.
Call Adam, please.
Get Edge on the scene.
By the way, you do know
that video that him and Christian did for that they put on Twitter is great.
Oh, you're talking about the Mark one?
Yeah, the one where they roasted the Fickle fans.
Yes, fool. That bro. That show is a revelation.
The show is
tremendous.
The shade from that tree was just so cooling.
What do you think, Tom? Honestly, I just think whatever Meltzer says.
Yeah, like, oh, the tea was just the right temperature right there.
So at this point in the show, we don't have any Ring of Honor news to tell you. So I just want you to go ahead and take the time you would normally take to talk about Ring of Honor and give some love to Daniel Bryan, to Captain Planet.
Yo, man, Captain Planet is fucking great. First of all, the hemp title is wonderful on multiple levels. Number one, it's fire. Like, look at the damn thing. The way that they've got, like, the jewel set up in the, like, light blue because it's on SmackDown and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fire looking. Number one. Number two, from a character standpoint, that is fucking wonderful. I'm going to dump this belt in the fucking trash because it's made of leather and killed a cow and I'm a vegan and planet rah, rah, rah. So let me get out this 100% sustainable hemp title belts.
I love it.
Well, and I marked real hard because when he pulled the belt out before he said that it was made of hemp, I was like, holy shit, is that a fucking belt made out of hemp? And then he's like, sustainable hemp. I was like, yes. but no, like, he's spitting so many truths. Everything he says about saving the planet, like, that is true just because, like, I mean, it's the 6th of February and it was 80 degrees today where I live. Like, that shit is fucking crazy. Climate change is fucking crazy. We need to do something about it. Yes. But he's also spitting so many truths about the fans and, like, how fickle the fan base is and how you the very same thing that they love you for, all of a sudden they hate you for no fucking reason.
None.
Other than they just got tired of it today. And, like, bringing Rowan in as a heavy, and as it turns out, holy shit, when he's not being a fucking Wyatt druid.
Or a bludgeoner.
He's able to actually, you know, cut an intriguing and interesting promo. And he's a perfect heavy. We've known that for years. He's found his Bray Wyatt, only it's not Bray Wyatt. Because, I mean, we know who Bray Wyatt's forever heavy bestie is.
Right, but remember, Brian did, he did give himself to Bray. So maybe he truly learned something from Bray. And, man, look, the Wyatts stick together. The Wyatts stick together.
The show.
Strowman's going to come home eventually, too.
Luke and Bray are like peas and carrots, and apparently Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are building that same shit, because, like, that already just works. When he first debuted, I was, like, not sure how I felt about this, but, like, the way that they've used him and the things that he's said, and, like, I loved the interaction with Samoa Joe on Tuesday, where, like, Joe had just got done choking out Orton and, like, being a badass, and then Bryan's music hit. And Joe's walking up like he's ready for the fucking smoke, and all of a sudden Rowan just shows up out of nowhere and Joe's like, touche.
Can we also talk about the fact that when on Rowan's Titantron, when he comes out to his country ass music, his banjo music, that the O is the Recycle logo? I just find that hilarious.
Yeah, that's just like everything about it just works.
It works.
It just works. Captain Planet is amazing. We are Planeteers. You can be one too.
Because if you didn't know, saving our planet is the thing to do. We're not gonna go no further. Looting and polluting is not the way.
Oh no, we're gonna let it go. We're gonna let it go because, like, we're showing our age.
Who would you have Brian defend against at WrestleMania?
At Mania, right now.
Because Brian normally wins these elimination matches.
Oh, yeah, Brian's going to... Yeah, no, Brian's going to win the title. Or win the title. He's going to retain the title for sure. Right now, of the people available, like... I think it's too early for him to win the title, but, like, the person I'm most interested in him facing is Andrade, because Andrade's great in the ring with everybody. It's too early for Andrade to have a title program, though.
I don't care about that. There's no story between those two that can be told. Not interesting, because both of them are heel. Andrade can't talk. Zelina Vega hasn't shown that she can talk as a face. I don't see that one.
Oh, no, I don't see it. I just saying, like, I would enjoy it because the match would be good.
It'd be fire.
No, like, I don't really know, because, like, I don't want it to be AJ. I don't want it to be Jeff or Randy or Ray.
Joe?
I only want it to be Joe if Joe's finally going to win, because Joe, like, we talk about, Joe has some of the same problems we talk about with Braun. The only difference is Joe is, like, a more complete performer, so it's easier for him to recover. But Joe has the same problem. You know, Bray Wyatt's another one that has this problem. Like, you talk all that good shit, and then you fucking lose.
This is true.
Every fucking time. Like, you talk all that good shit, you get us all invested, we're down, it's going to be great, and then you fucking lose.
And then they don't move the goalposts for Joe to do for Braun.
Yeah. So, like,
they make everything so easy for Braun, and yet they still book him to lose. Whereas Joe's always seem like he's overcoming something.
Yep.
And then he loses. You're like, oh, well, you know, that was a good fight.
Yep. Joe's a badass, and we love him because he's fucking Joe. But
I don't want it to be, but man, it just almost makes too much sense for it to be Mustafa Ali. And God, I don't want it to be that. No, because Ali's great. I just think it's too much too soon.
Well, there's no second act to that. You know, one of the things, like, one lesson to be learned from Miz, even though Miz had a steady rise to his WWE title, but, like, one lesson to be learned there is when you strike that lightning that fast, there's nowhere to go but down.
Nope.
And it's going to take you a long time to climb back up from the down.
Especially considering how you're underdog.
Yep.
You know, I think...
I mean, shit, you know who's the prime example of that? The prime example of that. For real, it's Kane.
Oh, yeah. For the second
Kane debuts. Kane debuts within a month of debuting. He wins a fucking WWF title from Austin in a first blood match. Mm-hmm. Like, huge fucking program. Drops the title the very next night, and then is a perennial mid-carder for the rest of his career.
Yep.
Until he gets a pity title run when he's old.
And it was a pretty long title run, but it was pity.
Yeah, it was a pity.
It was a thank you reign.
Which is what they were using the world title for at that time, because like Mark Henry got the pity run, he got the pity run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the SmackDown title's purpose at that point. No, the only other people I can think of are people who are out hurt that I don't think will be back in time for Mania. And who aren't technically on the SmackDown roster.
Who's that?
Well, I mean, you know, they could bring Kevin and Sammy back, and I would love to see either of them versus Daniel.
Enough of that. Seen that enough.
Well, I mean, I just like Kevin versus Daniel. It's a good match.
It is, but we saw that last year WrestleMania. And every other pay-per-view before, like, the middle of the year, so...
I mean, I like Kevin versus Daniel.
So then.
I literally can't think of anybody because SmackDown has a dearth of faces that aren't old.
Well, let's talk about the one that makes the most sense. Jonathan Felix Anthony Cena.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Please don't.
It makes too much sense. And you want the SmackDown title to possibly main event or be a marquee match? Nothing will make it bigger than Bella versus Bella. Bryan versus Cena.
Gross.
Movie star versus...
Gross.
The Planet's Champion. Bruh.
Gross.
That's a t-shirt right there.
Gross.
That's a t-shirt right there. I'm with it. Gross. I'm with it.
The only thing that could make it grosser, is...
Bella in every corner?
Yeah, or had it be like a mixed tag match with the two Bellas facing each other. Like, that's the only thing that could make it grosser.
Do you think they were really putting Nikki back with John for the storyline?
Did you really just ask me if WWE would do something to market a storyline?
This is John Cena, though.
But did you really just ask me if the WWE, led by Vincent Kennedy McMahon...
That was kind of stupid, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
Like, they brought up Roman's cancer diagnosis within 2 weeks of it happening on the air to get Dean heat. And you asking me if they would put Nikki and John together on the screen?
I'll shut up now. I'll take this L and go sit in my corner for a few minutes.
So, yeah, to answer your question, if the people couldn't tell, is of course they would. Of course they would. If they thought that it would sell one more network subscription, they would do it.
Damn, if they just could convince $10?
One person.
They're going to whore them out for $10? They're better than that.
Nah, shit. Vince don't give a fuck.
You're right. You're right.
$9.99, which is cheaper than the Meltzer's shit rag.
Bro. Yeah. God. Okay. So. But even though you think it's disgusting and gross, you have to admit it's the only thing that makes sense.
It's got a built-in story.
Yep.
And they're two big enough names that you could thrust them into that mid-card match that they always put the big names in.
and you can you always have the appeal of 17.
Yeah, that's how they're going to market it.
And for the wrestling fan, you know Cena and Bryan have fire matches.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm just over John. Especially if he doesn't cut his fucking hair. Like, I'm not saying he's got to go back to the military cut, but like, that disgusting bowl cut turnover shit is got to go.
Well, he's not cutting his hair because he believes in Brian's practice of not being wasteful.
Okay.
Man.
Is that one of the new John Cena's house rules?
I need Miz to tell me the house rules. I forgot them.
I mean, I need Miz to, like, get done with this Shane McMahon shit real quick and then come after the Planet's champion.
So, it sounds like, prospectively, we're having Seth versus Brock, Cena versus Bryan, Becky, Charlotte, Ronda, Asuka, Naomi, Miz versus Shane.
Oh, you think they're going to do Miz versus Shane at Mania?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is why
I'm cool with it.
I've been behind it the whole time because you put anybody who gets put with the big man, especially with Shane, is going to be considered a marquee wrestler. Shane McMahon is at Access, at WrestleMania Access, is a VIP signing, whereas Daniel Bryan is a premium signing.
Question. What is AJ doing at WrestleMania? Watching from catering?
No, they're going to put that man on. Speaking of somebody who carried the company, that man had the belt for the whole year. No, he'll probably get Taker.
Oh. Oh, okay.
You thought he was gone? You thought Taker was going away?
I maybe not thought so much as wished, hoped, pleaded.
Well, okay. So, okay, if they don't do that, legitimately, you want him to go away. But an AJ Styles, Randy Orton, genuine feud would be interesting.
Okay, that's acceptable. That's high profile enough. Or just for the sake... No, never mind. No, they did that feud for too long. Never mind.
Him and Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say just for the sake of them being able to do it at WrestleMania. Just for that.
Yeah.
I would be okay with it. Just for that.
I'd rather see Joe do something different.
I would too. That's not what I mean at all. I would too. But like, just for the sake of being able to say these two, like the two people who are the reason TNA, two people who are part of the reason TNA didn't go out of business a long fucking time ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love it. Yeah. And I think you also were probably going to see, hopefully, Andrade versus Rey, Lucha de Apuestas, title versus mask.
Title versus mask? Who? What title he gonna have?
R-Truth is the fucking U.S. title. You think he's gonna hold that shit for a long time?
Oh, I forgot he had the U.S. title now. I forgot he beat both Shinsuke and Rusev in the same
title. Chris Jericho moved to the side, but you did ain't nothing. R-Truth beat Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura in the same night.
And still had time for a dance break. Because R-Truth is over.
Over.
And over then, like Rover in his mid-40s.
He is, dog. It's crazy. And then, of course, you'll have, we both think, Hawkins and Ryder versus the Revival tag titles. And then I would do, if it was me, I would do Sasha and Bayley, who are probably going to be your women's tag team champions, versus either the Bellas or Trish and Lita.
Okay. I mean, I'm indifferent, so okay.
The joy in his eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, no, I mean, I have, like, no... I don't know. I'm over Bailey and Sasha. I'm over them.
I'm excited. I think we have some very good combinations of matches that could bridge the gap for everybody. And I acknowledge that the only thing that most fans are going to give a fuck about is if Becky is treated the way they wanted to. So,
I'm intrigued as to some of the match possibilities, because WrestleMania season, there's always good matchups, but this year is another year where I'm reminded of how many people are hurt that would normally be involved in the build to Mania.
Besides Roman, who's hurt?
Kevin and Sammy would both be involved in Mania angles, and you know it. Kevin, definitely.
They're
Sammy,
healthy. They're not. Coming. They're going to make their return very soon. They're healthy.
Since when? I don't read the dirt sheets anymore.
It's not even dirt sheets. Kevin just said on his Twitter he had a trainer match with Adam Cole. But only one person saw it.
I forgot that they're besties. I love that they're besties.
They are. They really are besties.
No, they really are. Yeah. Adam Cole and KO, like, old school besties. I love that.
Yeah. They're both healthy. Just, I guess it's more of creative trying to find something for them. So they actually might be a... I thought they would come back for the Rumble. They actually might be a return. Well, I always thought that it was going to be Lashley versus Kevin Owens for the IC title, seeing as Lashley messed up Kevin Owens, and that would be his return match. Don't know what you do with Finn. There's a lot of things up in the air, but Lashley and Kevin Owens and Sammy are healthy. Are they primed to return right now? Not necessarily, but they are healthy.
Speaking of healthy, hasn't Bray been ready to come back for like a month now?
Bray was never hurt. Bray should take time off. Remember, Bray disappeared when Matt Hardy left.
Yeah, because Matt had those injuries, and now he apparently wants to come back, and I am totally against that.
His spine and his coccyx were fusing together.
That's and I'm not just like impossible. I'm never okay with you wrestling again, sir. I'm sorry. That was the reason you had to go into early retirement. No, you're done.
But and again, this is the homer in me, but I have factual proof behind this thought process. If he's going to come back, I'd rather him do it in WWE than go somewhere else and do it, because they'll take care of him.
You're right. I'm not disputing that at all. Not disputing that. But I'm still like, no, you're canceled. Love you, but bye.
Yeah, no, right. I don't want him to wrestle at all. But if he don't wrestle WWE, he's going to go to AEW or TNA or Ring of Honor or somewhere and do it. And I'd rather you do it where you know you're not going to kill yourself.
This is true. Death would be bad.
We've pretty much broken down.
I was gonna say, I think we're ready to put a bow on it.
Next week we'll be doing our preview for Elimination Chamber. Before we tell you where we can find us. I want to kind of put a bow on this again. Social Suplex, man, we love you guys. Thank you for everything. Chair shot, let's get it. We hope that there are big things for all parties involved in our futures, very soon futures. We're going to work on some new and some different interesting things for y'all. One of those being strictly Carl being back on a regular basis. That should be happening soon. Genuinely, that's not like a bullshit tease. That's a legit tease.
Or at least we hope so, because like otherwise our man been lying to us, and then we gonna have to show up in Arkansas and just, you know, bust some kneecaps.
Oh, see, I already got it in with the kids and the wife, so it ain't shit for me to get over there. Yeah, but thank you guys. Thank you so much for everything. It was a great couple years, so...
We love y'all forever and always.
Forever and always. Social Suplex for life, man. Go ahead. Tell them where they can find you.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. Mm-hmm. You can find our good brother, Carl, with the most entertaining of the Twitters, at Outsider Curvin.
You can find me at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Of course, the show is at Outsiders Edge SS. Social Suplex is at Social Suplex, of course. Chair Shot, we are on chairshot.com, where you always
use your head.
You can find that at thechairshot.com.
And as always, y'all, you know, especially if this is your last time hearing us on the Social Suplex Network, we really need you to keep our parting message in mind. We are just some young men out here in the world living our lives and chasing after what we want. And if we have said anything now, then, forever, that has ever made you feel some type of way or get real angry or just fucked up your day, we want you to know that we're just out here chasing our dreams, and you have got to respect that. Because if you don't, we sure don't give a fuck.
Fuck 'em.
Thank y'all for listening. We hope to see you on the chair shot. We love you, Social Suplex.